Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. It does read, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the Lord. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raises him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead." Amen.
Thank you, brother. Good morning again. Before you get real comfortable, let's stand and greet one another. Say hello. Find someone you don't know, maybe someone you haven't seen in a long time, and welcome them. So glad that you are here. If you're a guest with us, we're especially honored by your presence and just want to have a special time to say hello and welcome you. If you'd take your Bibles or your device out right now, I have to say that now with the phones and the tablets, and turn to Philippians chapter 3, that would be great. As always, in your bulletin, there's an outline that will help you follow along. Got a lot of the scriptures we'll be referring to printed in there. As we continue in a series of messages entitled The Habits of Happiness, and today we want to discuss don't sweat the small stuff. But a couple of things I want to talk with you about before we get into the message. Number one, I know that I am not coordinated enough to do toes. What's the name of that song? Toes. Tony Chestnut. See, I can't even remember the title of it, let alone do it. I mean, you got to be coordinated to do that. I know what I would have done. I would have broken into freestyle like Kira did. I'd just start moving and grooving and call it good, right? That was great, though. Really enjoyed that. Just wanted to say thank you so much to all you who helped with the block party yesterday. You know, we didn't have as many guests as we would have liked to have had or that we planned on, but the important thing was you were there and you served and you were ready to serve, and God appreciates that, and so do I. And, you know, every time we do something like that, we learn, don't we? And so what we learned from yesterday is we're never going to plan another event on the MEA weekend. So we did learn something because everybody and their mother went out of town and took the kids, so that's great, though. You know, I heard about a man who was driving his beautiful BMW convertible down a winding road along the California coast, and he took one of the turns way too fast. The car went out of control, flipped, rolled, and went over the cliff. But miraculously, he was thrown clear of the accident. And a truck driver was driving behind this whole situation and just thought, man, this is such a bad accident that whoever was driving the car has to be dead. But when he came upon the place where the accident was, he pulled over and got out of his truck. He saw the man that had been driving the Beamer walking up and down the edge of the cliff, looking down and saying, "Oh, my Beamer. Oh, no, not my beautiful Beamer." And the truck driver noticed that his arm had been cut off just below the elbow. And so the truck driver walked to him and said, "Man, hey, listen, don't worry about your Beamer. You're lucky to be alive. Look at your arm. It's been severed just below the elbow." And the guy with the Beamer looked down and said, "Oh, no, not my Rolex, too." It is so easy to lose perspective. And when we do, we also lose our joy. Have you ever noticed that it's not really the big things in life that stress us out and get us all tied up in knots and make us grumpy. It's kind of the little things, you know? The alarm doesn't go off when it's supposed to in the morning, and so you're late for work. You know, someone cuts you off on the freeway. The outfit that you wanted to put on that morning doesn't fit anymore, you know? And a coworker says something rude to you, and your whole day is ruined. But here's the issue. Friends, how we respond to those things is a matter of perspective. And perspective is rooted in choice. You ever notice that two people can go through the same difficult times, the same problems, the same sufferings, the same heartaches, and one person remains happy and calm and hopeful, while the other person becomes angry, negative, bitter, maybe falls to pieces. Why is that? Because as we have discovered in this study of Philippians, happiness is rooted in choice and not in circumstances. And so what this series is about is how you can develop the habits that will help you make the right choices every day of your life. You've probably heard it said, the two most basic rules of life. Okay, they're on your outline. Number one, rule number one, don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two, it's all small stuff. Let me ask you, do you agree with that? Are these rules true? Well, it depends on how you look at it. If you look at it just from a human perspective, they're not true. Because there are lots of big things in life that break us. There are lots of things that are bigger than we are that when they happen to us, it seems like the end of the world. I think these rules only make sense when we choose to look at the world another way. And that is from God's point of view. It's all small stuff only when we focus not on this world, but on another world that is not tainted by injustice, unfairness, and oppression. It's a world where there is no pain, loss, or death. And it is a world that never ends. And if we focus on that world, it'll not only change our perspective, it'll change everything about our lives. Look at on your outline, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory, which is much greater than the troubles. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will only last a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. And so, folks, when you hear a Christian say, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff, we're not minimizing the pain of our problems or the pain of this world. We are magnifying the power of our God. That's the difference. And that is only where true and lasting happiness is found. Okay, well, let's look at some ways, some very practical and powerful ways that we cannot sweat the small stuff from Philippians chapter 3, 1 through 11, okay? First thing to do, ways to not sweat the small stuff. Number one, resolve that you are going to be happy today. Look at verse 1. The apostle writes, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Notice what Paul writes from a prison cell in Rome. Whatever happens, choose to be happy. Choose it. Make that decision. Don't wait to find out what kind of mood your spouse is in to see whether you'll be happy or not. Don't wait to see how traffic is or what the stock market is doing to decide whether this is going to be a good day or a bad day, or whether you're going to be unhappy or grumpy. When you start the day, decide no matter what, this is going to be a good day, and I'm going to be happy in the Lord. I heard about a young man undergoing treatment for cancer, and he is young and athletic, and if he didn't tell you he had cancer, you would have no idea that he had any problems. He doesn't complain. He is cheerful and friendly and enjoys life. And a friend of his asked him, how do you keep such a great attitude given what you're going through? And this is what he said. When I wake up in the morning, I ask myself, do you want to be depressed today or do you want to be happy today? And I choose to live happy. Friends, every day when you wake up, in your mind, before you even get out of bed, you make two lists. One list is all the reasons to be afraid, upset, worried, angry, and depressed, or maybe just stay in bed. The other list is all the reasons that you should be joyful, thankful, peaceful, and hopeful, and face the day with enthusiasm. The kind of day you'll have, your happiness depends on which list you choose to live by. And I would encourage you not to postpone your happiness. You know, a lot of us do that. Paul says, no matter what, rejoice in the Lord. Be happy right now. You know, I think too many of us think, well, you know, when I get that promotion, well, then I'll be happy. Or when my health improves. Or when my kids straighten out, or when I get all my problems solved, then I can be happy. No. Al quoted a great scripture this morning as we began our worship. It's on your outline, Psalm 118, verse 24. The psalmist said, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, I'm going to be happy. I choose to focus on the good. Two women were talking over coffee one day, and one said to the other, do you ever wake up grumpy? And the other lady said, no, sometimes I just let him sleep. But friends, life is too short to live that way. Every day that you and I lived worried and stressed out and depressed and grumpy is a day wasted. So, the first way to not sweat the small stuff is resolve that you're going to be happy today. I think that's what Paul is saying. The second is this. Relax in the grace of God. Relax in the grace of God. Look at verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Jesus Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Talk about an overachiever. I once thought that all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. I think this passage is a little cryptic, so I think we need some background to really understand it. The Apostle Paul taught that salvation came by trusting in what Jesus did on the cross and following him. Well, over time, a group known as the Judaizers came along and started teaching that, well, it was good to trust in Christ for salvation, but there was more to it. You also had to keep the old law, of which circumcision was a part. What the Judaizers were teaching became known as legalism, which was a belief that salvation is not based so much on what God has done for us, but on what we do for God. Salvation by legalism is a religion that says you must keep the law perfectly and do enough good works, and then maybe, just maybe, God will save you. Salvation by grace is a relationship in which we love God and do good things in the name of Jesus because we are saved, because we are so grateful to God for what he has done for us. Legalism says do. Faith and grace says done. And friends, legalism makes you miserable because you can't keep the old law or any law for that matter. You just can't. Someone says, well, I can keep the Ten Commandments. Really? I bet you can't even list the Ten Commandments. Amen? You know? Well, Jim, I've never committed adultery. Have you ever lusted in your heart? Well, I've never murdered anybody. Have you ever hated anybody, been so angry that you wanted to kill them, but you didn't? We can't even keep the Ten Commandments, let alone the whole law. And when your salvation is based on how much you do for God, I want to ask you, when is enough enough? So you don't know. You live in constant fear, constant insecurity, constant frustration. Because the question always arises, well, what if I fail? What then? Or have I done enough? Nothing makes you more unhappy than a legalistic approach to God. Feeling like somehow you have to earn his love, earn his salvation. And Paul says, I once lived that way. I mean, if anybody lived that way, I did. Look at all I accomplished. Look at all I did. But in the end, the only thing that matters is not what I've done, but what Jesus did for me. Big difference. And he calls the Judaizers dogs, and I want you to think that he's not talking about our domesticated puppy dogs. He's not talking about a poodle, you know, or some little cute little dog. What he's really talking about, we would think of more as coyotes. Ravenous, wild beasts, causing people to live in fear, insisting that they do things and mutilate their bodies with circumcision when they didn't have to. Now, there's a lot here, but I'm going to make a couple of simple applications for us. Number one, relax in the grace of God. When you wake up in the morning, you're not first thinking of all the ways, this is all I've got to do to make God happy. This is all I've got to do to placate God. This is all I've got to do to make up for all the things that I've done wrong in my life. You wake up thinking, I am forgiven for every sin I have ever committed. I am clean. I am new. God is with me and for me and in me. Secondly, refuse to be at the mercy of what other people think. The legalists badmouth Paul, they criticize Paul, they attacked Paul, they lied about Paul, and you know what I hear him saying? You know what? I don't have to please them. I'm not living to please them or anybody else. All I have to please is God. Boy, that's free. And so it is with you. Friends, you know No matter how loving you are, no matter how kind you are, you know, no matter how gracious you are, no matter how honest you are, no matter how hard you work, someone is going to be unhappy with you and not like you. And the experience of Jesus on this earth proves that. If there's anyone who could have possibly made everyone happy, it was him, and he couldn't even do it. So don't make yourself miserable trying to do what even Jesus couldn't do. Never base your happiness on whether or not other people are happy with you. Relax in the grace of God. Third way to not sweat the small stuff is remain focused on what's really important. Okay? Verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I would gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That's what's eternally important. Now, friends, I want you to think of the thing that's making you unhappy right now. The thing that has got you upset and worried and irritable. That thing from the past that just haunts you, maybe keeps you awake at night, that you just can't let go. I want to ask you, is that thing going to matter a week from today? Will you even care about it in a month? Will you even remember it in a year? Well, will anybody remember it 100 years from now? How important is it in light of eternity? That's the perspective. Because, listen, I understand we're conditioned. In our culture, the media and the advertisers do everything they can to convince you that this story and this crisis and this issue and this movie or this product is the most important thing in the world. And unless you watch us or read us or buy the merchandise we're selling, you will not be happy. You'll be a bad person. Friends, that's a lie. You know what? There's nothing more worthless in this world than yesterday's newspaper. You line the birdcage with it. And we got a whole bunch of stuff out in the dump. The dump is filled with things that were just, you couldn't live without at the time. Let me ask you some things. Can you remember what the news story was that was gripping the world 10 years ago today? Do you remember who won the Super Bowl in 1994? Who was the governor of Minnesota in 1986? Who won the Academy Award for Best Actor in 1977? You don't know. These were earth-shattering events. Grabbing the headlines, gripping people's hearts and attention. That's why it's all worthless compared to knowing Christ and the power of his eternal resurrection. The reason why you and I we don't have to sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff, because everything here is temporary. and only his life is eternal. That's what matters. And I know it's tough because we're conditioned. You say, well, Jim, how can I be happy with all the crime and injustice and suffering and oppression in the world? How can I have joy given what North Korea and ISIS and the drug cartels are doing? Let me ask you, how much control do you have over any of that? Then why are you and I allowing it to steal our joy? I mean, if there's something you can do about it, we can always pray. Okay, so you pray. So you volunteer. So you fundraise. So you do what you can do about it. I mean, that's what I love about Feed My Starving Children, volunteering for Feed My Starving Children. I mean, there are a few things in this world more upsetting than children that don't have enough food. But we have a choice about that. We can make ourselves miserable, feeling guilty. We can get angry, blaming the government, blaming God, blaming different people. Maybe I could somehow browbeat all of us into becoming missionaries and going to those places. Or we can volunteer our time and money, give money toward the solution. In other words, you do your best and you give God the rest. Because ultimately, he's the only one who can control anything in your life or in this world that is upsetting you. You can't. So let God be God and enjoy your life. Because friends, this is not the end of the story. Many years ago, after 40 years of serving as a missionary in Africa, Henry Morrison retired. And he headed back to the United States on a ship. That was the way that people traveled at that time. And it just so happened that he was on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt. President Roosevelt had been off on one of his African safaris and vacations and was coming back. And as they pulled into New York Harbor, there was all this celebration and fanfare, you know, receiving the president back from his time gone and all of this. But for Henry Morrison, there was nothing. Nobody there, no celebration, no bands, no recognition to mark the end of his journey. And so that night, he alone went, found a room to stay in there in New York City, and just in his fatigue and loneliness, he just kind of complained to the Lord. He said, Lord, I don't understand it. He said, you know, President Roosevelt got all this stuff just coming back from a vacation. You'd think, after all my dedication and all my service and all my sacrifice in your kingdom, I'd get something. I would be welcomed home in some way. And he said that there in the darkness, he heard the Lord say to him in a quiet voice, but Henry, you're not home yet. Friends, neither are we. Remember that. You won't sweat the small stuff while we stand and sing.